Welcome to the Casual Comics Cast.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Casual Comics Cast. It's me, your casual comics guy, Joe, and today I got Jeff with me. Hey Jeff.
Hi everybody.
Hey man, and we're going to talk comic and movie stuff because we're a little late now. It's still May, start of the action big blockbuster movie season. Mark and I just talked Guardians of the Galaxy. We're going to talk Evil Dead Rise.
Yeah, Evil Dead Rise. That was something else, wasn't it?
That was a movie. It was definitely a filmed thing that you watched on a big screen that had a beginning and a middle and an end. So it's a movie.
It did. You are correct.
I'm selling a shirt. I think I liked it more than you did. We'll get into it in a little bit. We'll talk Evil Dead. Mostly we read an Evil Dead comic, Death to the Army of Darkness, I think was the title. I would have to fact check myself on that. But before we kick off, just catching up a little bit, man. I haven't talked to you in a while. How's everything going?
I'm groovy. How are you?
I am fabulous. I have not talked about it on the show yet. I did go to WonderCon. Man, that has to be like 60 days ago. It seems like forever ago. It wasn't that long ago. I spent a day at Disney Marvel Studios Park, which was fun. And then I went to WonderCon, which I had never been to before. It's a sister convention to San Diego Comic-Con. And I actually think I prefer it. It's a little smaller, a little more intimate. You don't have all the pop culture stuff. But if you want to have a smattering of pop culture and a schmear of comic books, I think this is your right balance.
Nice. Nice. What town is that in?
That is in Anaheim, California.
Anaheim. Okay.
Which if you're in Omaha, Nebraska, and it's 30 degrees or 40 degrees in March, and you want to get out, Anaheim's a great place to be.
Nice.
I forgot now that I moved back here. And if you hear me sniffling on the podcast, it is because I have not lived here in almost 9 years. And I forgot that when it gets to this time of year, literally the air is trying to murder me.
And it does a very good job of it too.
It's like that movie The Happening if it was real and good.
I've been here my entire life, so I started doping up 3 weeks before season began and I've been doing fine.
I should have followed suit. I did not, and now I'm trying to catch up with the Flonase, the Allegra, trying to get an allergy shot. I got a lot to get to. But anyway, WonderCon was tremendous. If people want to go to casualcomicsguy.com, you can see a lot of the photos that we posted. If you want to go to our Instagram account that my wonderful daughter is now managing on my behalf because she's way better at social media than I am, there's a place to go to see a lot of the photos of the cosplay, which was a lot of fun. I got to meet Mark Russell, who's one of our favorite authors. Such a fun guy. And in fact, we should talk about his comic that came out recently. I think it's still in the works. It's Second Coming, which is amazing. Backed his Kickstarter. It's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It was a great time because it was just meeting people, seeing cool stuff. I don't think I showed you any of the art I got. And now I feel bad because I don't have to walk away and go pick up some of the original art I got. But man, a fun time. I highly recommend it to anybody. You going to go next year, Jeff?
Sure.
All right.
How's that for positivity on the podcast? Sure, you bet. I'm going.
All right, we'll do a live podcast from there. I will actually do my damnedest. We'll see if we can record a live podcast there and be guests there and be on a panel.
Boy, that'd be sweet.
We'll work on it, man. And so let's work on it by working on our podcast here.
Yeah.
Recent comic book stuff. We did not talk about Shazam, Fury of the Gods, which is now far in the rearview mirror, but you're a big Shazam fan. And I didn't see the movie. So why don't you give me your quick thoughts on Shazam, Fury of the Gods?
Yeah, we're a little bit behind because it's debuting on Max.
Max?
As we speak.
But
yeah,
It's not HBO Max anymore. It's just Max.
It merged with Discovery, and they are now Max.
Is it Cinemax?
I think that's where the original Max part of HBO Max came from.
Really?
I think so, because the font was very similar.
Okay.
But so, now it's just Max.
So I really liked Shazam.
The first one, wonderful yes. movie.
Should I see Shazam Fury of the Gods?
You should see it on TV and not pay a ticket price for it, because it was merely pretty good. It wasn't wonderful like the first one was.
How long is it?
I don't know. But it's standard movie fare, probably shorter than most movies these days. It wasn't a bad movie. It just wasn't as fun as the first one was.
Were you feeling it, though? Like, feeling like I'm getting a little itchy because this movie's going on too long?
No.
I don't actually care about, like, runtime to me. Like, runtime, no. You can run a movie for 85 minutes. You can run it for 3 hours. If mm-hmm. I'm feeling it, you've gone too long.
Yeah. Yeah, if the story takes you there, let the story take as long as the story takes. Right. The only time I've really felt it is watching Apocalypse Now.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, that's getting a little bit long in the tooth. Let's kind of wrap it up here, folks.
Come on, Vietnam. Can you just hurry up? I feel like people who lived in the Vietnam era were like thinking the same thing. Like, can we wrap it up, the war? We're about done here.
So, yeah, I bet they did. I can't imagine having to go through that.
Right. I don't want to make light of it. It was a rough time, but
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. There's no way to transition out of that from Shazam Fury of the
There
Gods.
Is no comedy down that road.
Jeff is neutral on it. Good. But
I will watch it again on cable. But okay. I really would have preferred that instead of the Daughters of Apollo or whoever it was, that they would have gone with a more traditional villain. Like, for example, Mr. Mind, who they set up in the post-credit scene of the first movie. And, okay, spoiler alert, everybody. If you don't want to know a little bit about the post-credit scenes of this movie, which mean nothing because the DC Universe is totally revamping itself, then mm-hmm. here we go. 3, 2, 1. The post-credit scene is Mr. Mind and Savannah in jail still going, maybe next movie will be in it.
Hmm.
I'm like, what? What are you doing?
I was just laughing because you said a more traditional villain, and then you said Mr. Mind. I can't think of a less traditional movie villain than a caterpillar.
A more traditional Shazam villain.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. Which is extremely silly, as we've talked about before.
Oh, yes. So, absolutely.
Wrapping up Shazam here. Guys, yeah. If I'm going to, what is one thing I should look forward to, though? Like, oh, you'll enjoy this about the movie. And you're struggling already.
I am struggling right now.
When you watch it again on TV, what are you going to watch? You're like, oh, I'm excited for. Otherwise, why watch it again?
Why watch it again? Because I want to make sure that I wasn't just in a bad mood the first time.
Got it. Okay. So overall, watch it if you're curious.
Yeah.
And then if you don't like it, watch it again to make sure you weren't in a bad mood.
Yeah. Well, watch this 2 times. Instead of watching Black Adam 1 time.
There you go. Better use of time.
Absolutely.
The other big movie DC universe, because you and I tend to talk DC more, is The Flash. Release dates soon.
Soon.
And it's getting a lot of positive buzz.
Yeah, I think it's the week of the weekend of around Juneteenth, around the 19th.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I mean, this was a movie that looked like it was on the ropes. It looked like it might be a rocky, whether it even got released or not.
Yeah, it's only, 5 years in the making? It was supposed to be out a long time ago, but COVID threw it for a loop. And then all kinds of problems at DC just delayed it and delayed it and delayed it. And now, as things are falling apart, in the old DCU, they are using this movie as a springboard into the new DCU of James Gunn and Peter Safran.
Right. The only thing if you're listening to this podcast, you've probably seen the trailers. What I'll say is I think they're giving away too much in the trailers. It's making me less interested to see it because I feel like they are beating it to death that Michael Keaton is Batman again in this movie.
Yeah.
I got it. I don't need to keep seeing all these things that I would be blown away by if it was a surprise to me when I was watching it.
One thing is I've been very, very studiously avoiding watching any YouTube videos about it. And I'm a YouTube video junkie. I'll watch those all day long. But I keep seeing headlines saying, oh, here's all the cameos that are happening. So I'm thinking, oh, what? This might be a fun little fan service movie.
I hope so. And I hope they haven't ruined it all. And it's not even YouTube clips. Every time I feel like I go to a movie, there's a new cut of the Flash trailer that's got more spoilers in it. But
yeah, there's been a few.
I feel like the movie's probably had enough negative early buzz that they're trying to counteract it by showing all of this stuff to get people.
I don't know because Tom Cruise got to see an early screener of it and he flipped out and loved the movie and called the director and praised the movie to him immediately after seeing it.
And now he's in it somehow.
he's a version of Tony Stark in this.
He's movie. Iron Man in the yeah. Batman in yeah. the Flash.
Yeah, it's the ultimate crossover.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. All right, Jeff. Well, good to catch up on that stuff. Let's take a quick break because you and I did see Evil Dead Rise, and I will say I asked you to go see it with me intentionally so we could talk about it. Uh-huh. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk Evil Dead Rise.
You're listening to the Casual Comics Cast. Some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
No matter how busy you ever got, you always found time for me. I can't believe I'm never gonna speak to you again.
When I was just a little girl, I asked my mother,
what is this, Danny?
I found it.
So that's the trailer for Evil Dead Rise, which I don't know. Is that on the Max yet, Jeff?
No. On the Max. It's probably, it is available for streaming, like rental through things like Vudu and other places, but it's not out on like just a regular streaming app service like Max or Apple or any of those things.
Right. So if we go back in time and if people want to go back and listen to you and I, saw Army of Darkness together, which you had never seen. So
we did that just recently.
You have been, I got reminded of that. I'm like, oh crap, we just recorded an Evil Dead show. Why are we doing another one this fast? But it's because the movie came out and you were a fan of the original Evil Dead. You were marginal on Evil Dead 2 because of the comedy. Army of Darkness, you hadn't seen until just real recently. Recap for the people 30 seconds, like, do you enjoy Army of Darkness?
Okay. Army of Darkness was a movie that I resisted for a long time because I resented all of the Three Stooges slapstick comedy that they had in the second one. But the first one scared the living daylights out of me and I had a great time and it was fun. So I thought if they're going to go down that road, I don't want to do it. I shouldn't have waited. It was a lot of fun and it was a much more conventional movie. And I had a great time.
It's a sandals and sorcery film that happens to star Ash Williams fighting the Deadites, which was a lot of fun. So then they rebooted, not even rebooted. They brought new directors in. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. I'm a bad host. Let's just put it that way on this show.
No, you're fine.
They did Evil Dead. They did not a reboot, but a continuation of it with a new director.
Uh-huh.
I did not see that because it just looked like it was not fun.
Right.
And this movie, when I saw it with Lee Cronin directing it, when I saw the trailers for the first time, I was like, this does not look that fun. It looks a little mm-hmm. crazy, but you and I are now members of the Alamo Draft House. And it's like, yeah, I got a free ticket. I will go in and I'll watch the first 20 minutes. If it's no good, I'm out. And the opening credit, the opening sequence before the credits kind of got me a little bit hooked. I'm like, this movie could be fun. So I was like, Jeff, let's go see it. So the opening, do you recall? It's the cabin in the woods.
Uh-huh.
The typical with
down by the lake.
Creepy stuff going on down by the lake.
Mm-hmm.
Very typical Deadites. The people who need to get it are going to get it. And they're going to do it in the most twisted way possible. And then it's like, boom, Evil Dead Rise. And they go, now here's what happened 3 days earlier. And then I was like, oh, I'll take off now and I'll see if Jeff wants to see this movie. We'll talk about it on the podcast. So that is the beginning of Evil Dead Rise. What did you think of that? Let's just stop at the opening sequence.
Okay.
Cabin in the Woods part of the movie.
Yeah. It kind of just drops you into it. And you don't find out until the end of the movie that you're seeing the scene that takes place after this movie is over with as a prologue.
But they do tell you, like at the end of the opening sequence, the title card says 3 days earlier. They don't make it clear to you that now
while it's going
happens,
on. Yeah.
Right. We're going to pick it up. But
yeah. And the horror is much more earnest and less tongue in cheek fun.
Right, which is what you said you liked about the original Evil Dead.
No, conditionally, okay. It was scary, but it was fun scary.
Mm-hmm.
This was scary, but this was, I want to scare you, and I'm going to do it with a straight face.
Okay,
you know, there's something about Sam Raimi's filmmaking technique that's imaginative and creative because he didn't have any money to spend, and you could tell it was low budget and that they were having a great time doing it. And there was a sense of fun about the whole thing. There was also a sense of, we have no budget, so it looks a bit ridiculous.
Right.
This has all the budget you could possibly want, plus CGI, and it looks horribly realistic. Right. And so that was a friend of mine at work was telling me that they were talking to somebody who said this movie had too much money to spend.
I can see that. And it's like CGI versus practical effects, stuff like mm-hmm. that. If you have mm-hmm. to do it in camera, you have to do it practical, you get one step removed from, I get it, that's a puppet blowing up versus a person's, right? You can get too
exactly
realistic.
Exactly. But when you get to the point where the major kill of the opening credit is done and you have the credits, the title of the movie shows up and she's hovering above the lake, and that was badass. That was really, really
that was
cool.
Because the opening kill of the movie isn't that graphic. It's I'll tell you, that was why I didn't see the first Evil Dead movie, is because the trailers were all about somebody getting their eyeball tortured. I'm not about eyeball torture anyway.
Into the Italian horror films. No, thank you.
But I don't know. That's maybe a difference of opinion there, because I felt like there was enough. And to your point, maybe it's the filmmaking, where it's the filmmaking itself had have a layer of artifice to it in the earlier Evil Dead movies because of the budget. Mm-hmm. But I still felt you're not supposed to buy this hook, line, and sinker and be horrified of it, because it is a little cheesy still. There's still a lot of cheesy stuff. I mean, even the fact that I love the fact that instead of the Necronomicon, which Bruce Campbell in the original Evil Dead finds an old tape Now it's a record because the vinyl revolution is finally here in the Evil Dead movies.
I'm wondering how that kid had a stylist that would play that old record.
Hey, you don't worry about those kind of things. Like he was, if they showed that he was an amateur DJ in his bedroom at the beginning of the movie, it did get a little heavy-handed with some of the family themes a little bit. I mean, one of the things about Evil Dead was you didn't really even get too emotionally attached to any of the characters. Like the deepest character was Ash Williams, who was just a random dummy that you cared about because he got his ass kicked so much. You're like, I'd like to see the tables turn here a little bit because these monsters are so sadistic. Mm-hmm. And almost like if you care too much about the characters, then you care too much about the agony they're going through.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's one of the things that I have. The biggest problem that I have with this movie is that it violates one of my big rules, and that is no violence against children. And boy, do they have violence against children in this movie. It's rough.
They do. And it's weird that they have this moral code that it's only going to be the teenagers who actually have something really bad happen to them. There's terrifying things that happen to the younger ones, but nothing more terrifying to the youngest one than what happens in the movie Poltergeist to Carrie Ann.
Yeah, but think about that kid in the hallway.
Yeah.
Oh, that was rough.
Who cares about him? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of my biggest problems, was that violates a rule for me. It crosses a line. And yet I still watched the movie. And I thought the movie was technically very, very good. It was a really well-made film. But I think that if you uncheck a couple of boxes that make it an Evil Dead movie, it could have been any generic possession movie in any other franchise.
That's true. Oh, well, I mean, yeah, if you say you uncheck a couple of boxes and the box is, I actually think that where they've had to bridge, which is an interesting bridge, because I actually wrote myself a treatment for a sequel to Evil Dead 2, by the way, Army of Darkness, which would have crossed over with Reanimator and would have been fascinating.
Dude, no, that would be too awesome.
I know. And anyway, there's so much behind that, dude. I should just publish it like a treatment for the crossover, because you know how Army of Darkness ends. Ash goes back to the future and he's there, and I'm not going to give too much away. I don't want to spoil a movie that's never going to be made.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but in the original ending of Army of Darkness, the original ending, did we ever watch that, or did you watch it online? I don't know if you watched it.
No. What happens in the original ending
is, if you remember, he doesn't ever remember the words Klaatu, Barada, Nikto, and it messes everything up.
Yeah, that's close enough.
In this movie, in the movie version we watched, he rides away. He takes the potion, says the words, and he's on his way, and he wakes up, he's in S-Mart, and it's like, I'm going to tell you the flashback. The original cut is he's supposed to go and bury himself underground, and what the potion does, it's not a time travel potion, it puts him in suspended animation. It's just like one drop for each century that he needs to be asleep, and he loses count, and he wakes up 100 years in the future, which is now also infested by deadites. And in my version, he wakes up there and he takes on a young apprentice who is a clone of Herbert West Reanimator, who has found a way to clone himself continually. So
nice.
They're going to be the ultimate Deadite killing machines. So there you go.
Yeah, that would be so cool.
But I don't know. I think that they have had to bridge now, long story long, actually, they've had to bridge to a point where the story can't be about Bruce Campbell and Ash Williams anymore.
No.
And so it has to be like Freddy movies are about Freddy and Jason movies are about Jason. Evil Dead movies have to be about the Deadites. And the thing that's interesting about the Deadites, they've called it out in Marvel Comics before, is they're just chaos demons. They want to kill you, but they also want to mess with you mentally the entire time. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's some of the catching up, is you don't feel like, not you personally, like you in general, people will have a problem with the fact that they're mentally scarring preteens. But
yeah, could that very be effectively
metaphor?
Too.
Could that be a metaphor, Jeff, for watching Evil Dead movies when you're too young?
Uh.
Now we're Inception levels on a movie that should not require this much thought.
Yeah.
Anyway, so to sum up Evil Dead Rise, I think I am, if you're an Evil Dead fan of the original trilogy, I say check it out, because I think there's enough in there of the Deadites and how crazy they are. Mm-hmm. Without it being just a straight knockoff.
Yeah, no, I would agree. If you're a fan, you just might love this movie. If you're a fan of really, really, really gory graphic violence, boy, you could do a lot worse than seeing this movie, because holy cow. I mean, I use Reanimator, the uncut version of Reanimator, as my yardstick. And when that came out, it got an X rating, so they just released it unrated. And right. If that got an X rating in 85, I can't imagine. They would have burned this movie at the stake, much less given it an X rating. It's so much more bloody and violent.
Yeah, but well-crafted.
Well-crafted. I mean, don't get me wrong.
It's like I always say, if you introduce a pair of scissors under the bed in the first act, somebody better get stabbed with those pair of scissors in the third act. Same thing with the wood chipper. Wood chipper. If you're going to show me a wood chipper, in the first 10 minutes of the movie, somebody better be going in the wood chipper in the last 10 minutes of the movie.
I totally missed the wood chipper at the beginning. Otherwise, I would have been like, yep, that's coming back.
There it is. All right, so that's our recap of Evil Dead Rise. And when we come back, we will talk about the comic book Death to Army of Darkness.
You're listening to the Casual Comics Cast. Superman service at bizarro prices.
I am Henry the Red, Duke of Shale, Lord of the Northlands, and leader of its peoples.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
So, indeed, Jeff. Hello, Mr. Fancy Pants. How you doing?
My pants and I are doing great, Joe. How are your trousers?
They are extremely fancy. I'm wearing cargo shorts, which my kids give me a hard time for, but super practical. Super
absolutely
practical.
Standard, hey man, dad acquire attire.
I don't have a utility belt. This is the closest I get in real
right
life. Yes,
right. God, that's so practical and fantastic.
Everybody makes fun of me for wearing cargo shorts until we're at the zoo and they're like, can you hold this, can you hold this, can you hold this, can you hold this? Oh, I guess I can.
Uh-huh. Oh, I'm getting hungry. Goldfish crackers, here you go.
All right, so Jeff, it's been a while. I mean, we've been pending recording this for longer than I care to remember. But I also said, let's read an Evil Dead comic book. And we read one before. I think we read Ash and Reanimator, which was we liked a lot. And this is one that I remember liking when it came out. Death to Army of Darkness. This is Dynamite Comics, written by Ryan Parrott, art by Jacob Edgar. It's not that old. I don't know. Year or two old from Dynamite. Okay. Which is a comic opens in ancient Egypt, and Ash is about getting ready to be sacrificed by an Egyptian cult. And if you've seen Army of Darkness and you've tracked Evil Dead, you're not surprised in any way that Ash is back somewhere in time. And it cuts to modern time where he's working at S-Mart. So it is very much a continuation of the Ash from the Army of Darkness series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it looked to me like they were getting ready to write the original Necronomicon Ex Mortis in Ash's blood and binding it with Ash's skin.
Which would make sense, because Ash has been so entangled with the Necronomicon since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then the book takes a little bit of a twist. Which is, this is almost, and rereading it, it reminded me of one of the things, and I don't want to shortchange the plot of the book. There's not a ton of plot to the book. This
no,
is
it's
the setup.
Been.
And when I talked to you and it was like, oh, we read the first one, and I went back and was like, the first one. Yeah, I forgot. I read the whole series. Which makes a little more sense. But this is the Ash Army of Darkness multiverse comic.
Boy, it sure is.
You're going to get the different versions of Ash from across the multiverse.
Yeah. How many show up at the end of this one? Like five different?
You get Skeleton Ash, who's fighting the, he's kind of a fancy pants skeleton that's been fighting the Deadites. You get a dog, Ash.
Yes.
Who is ready to fight evil too. You get tiny Ash left over from the Army of Darkness. Little Ash, who can't hardly talk. He's like caveman Ash. And you get, which caused me some confusion, Jeff, for a while with my own self of Lady Ash.
Or Ashley.
Ashley, which his name is Ashley.
Exactly.
So, oh, and he has a talking chainsaw now.
I don't remember the chainsaw talking. What did I miss?
Yeah, right there. Let's go. Let's get some heads, baby. he has an animated chainsaw that talks to him. So I almost feel bad that I was like, let's read this comic and recap it, because it just kicks off the story. But how well, like when we talked about Ash versus Reanimator, part of it was how well did this capture the tone of the characters in the movie for you? And at that one, you felt pretty good that, man, I could read this and hear Bruce Campbell. I could read this and I could hear, forgive me,
Jeffrey Combs.
Jeffrey Combs. Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
How about this one?
Upon rereading it, I could hear Ash's voice better than I could at first. The first time through, I really didn't think that much of the book. It felt like Evil Dead Light. The artwork, as good as it is, looked like a Saturday morning cartoon version of what Deadites might look like.
Yes, I agree.
But and once you reread it, though, you really start to hear the character voice again, and it starts to work. So I imagine if I got more than just one issue in, I'd probably fall in step and probably really enjoy it a lot more.
I agree. I think it's an interesting book. I'd have to go back and reread all of them because I remember enjoying this quite a bit, but it was a bit more to be like, I have to enjoy it for a thing that's not necessarily a continuation, because the writer just really didn't capture to me the voice of a character that we've come to know or come to know from a few movies and three seasons of a TV show.
Right.
In a very specific way. And I don't know that it seemed more like the dialogue of Ash speaking was more of a parody of how he actually talks versus, which is weird to say, because it's like,
yeah,
it almost seemed like an impersonation of Ash, but Ash is already just a character in somebody's scripts.
Yeah, but it's like I said, it's like watching a Saturday morning cartoon version of the Evil Dead movies.
Maybe I should take a second look at it through that lens of like, what if like this was the Toxic Avenger, which was also a Saturday morning TV cartoon.
I don't know how, but yes, they did do that.
But maybe that's what captured it. Maybe that's what I liked about it, is I actually quite liked it when I read it. It felt like Evil Dead Light, Army of Darkness Light. And maybe it did. Maybe if I was having a bowl of Fruit Loops and watching
and
this
smoking
on TV,
a bowl too.
No, come on, Jeff. I didn't do that when I was 10. And to be clear, I don't do that now.
No, we don't.
That's my friend. Good friend. I won't name him now.
But, no, we know. We know who you're talking about. It's all good. Hey, dude.
Everybody knows who he is. Yeah. I mean, I thought it was a good comic, not a great comic. That to me, Jeff, I mean, I don't want to belabor the book. I think you captured it perfectly. Is it's a Saturday morning cartoon version of Army of Darkness.
Mm-hmm. Which I kind of now would like to see.
I would too. You got to read the rest of the series.
All right.
All right, Jeff. You're more of a genius reviewer than you ever thought you were.
Thank you very kindly. I'm just making it up as I go along.
So with that under our belt, let's take a quick break and we will come back and talk more comics. I'm not sure exactly what, but I'll look it up while we're on a break.
You're listening to the Casual Comics Cast. Luckily, we're in tip-top condition. It'll be faster if we run.
Thank you.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking The Evil Dead Rise. We just covered an Evil Dead comic book. And I think the rest we got to talk about is just some random other comic book stuff. And I apologize to you, Jeff. I was slightly distracted during the last break because I got an email. And maybe we can talk about this, is the Mary Jo Peel show.
Oh, yeah.
And so you and I went online, and Dumb Industries, for those of you who are not in the know, Dumb Industries has a lot of the talent who worked on Mystery Science Theater 3000, which was I'm a huge fan of. And one of their channels is a Mary Jo Peel channel. She was Pearl Forrester. For those of you who don't know, she was a writer on the show for a long time. On the show, she's been amazing. She does her own riff track stuff now. Incredible. And I suckered you into coming over here and watching. They had the Mary Jo Peel show where her and this dude, Chris Gersbeck, who runs Dumb Industries, were going to watch the Justice League pilot from what year was it?
It was the Legends of the Superheroes from, what, 78, 79?
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And I barely remembered it. I'm like, let's get together and watch it because their commentary should be quite funny, you would think.
You would think.
And I have nothing but respect for Mary Jo and for this dude, Chris, who runs Dumb Industries, because he's got the Mads shows on there. They're funny. Mm-hmm. He's built a cottage industry around this. But I forgot, number one, how bad the show was.
Oh, horrible.
Legend of Superheroes. Does star Jeff Altman, one of my favorites.
He was very, very good as a stand-up comedian, but horrible on TV.
It's a butt steak, Jeff. Butt steak.
Do you see a proton or an electron up my nose?
Big and good. Hot and spicy. Sweet and meaty. Which only people of a certain age will get.
Yep.
Funny, but the show's not good, Legend of Superheroes.
It's horrible. It does mark the last time that Bert and Adam portrayed the dynamic duo in live action.
Bert Ward, Adam West, for those uninitiated, were the last time they were Batman and Robin on screen together.
Yep.
I don't know. I expected it to be really funny, and I don't want to belabor the point, but because, like I said, I respect the pre-scripted work that Mary Jo does.
Sure, absolutely.
This is not a pre-scripted show.
No.
It is the two of them getting together, and she's never seen it, and he's marginally familiar with it. They were super concerned about a part of the thing that was not, because there is a racially insensitive part of part two, which is the one they thought they were watching. They were unclear on that from the beginning. And I felt like I was watching them with my mom, in the sense that it was like, who is that? Who's that person? And it's like, because you're asking who's that person, you can't hear the fact that they're explaining to you right now who that person is.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Exactly. And they kept asking who that actor is. And people were screaming it in the comments. Somebody wasn't writing the comment board.
It's something you can have on Discord, and they weren't really super locked in on Discord. But anyway, I was a little distracted because in order to do that, I did have to sign up for a subscription, which, to be fair, $1 per month. I mean, it's not breaking my bank.
Not so bad.
For a buck. But I just got literally a text that the next show is about to start, and it's the Trader Joe's challenge with Mary Jo and Chris sampling weird stuff from Trader Joe's. And apparently it's just gonna be them for an hour being like, what is this thing? What is it? I don't know. It's a thing from Trader Joe's. What are we doing? Which, man, if I could get to that level of having an internet presence to where people were going to pay me a buck a month for me to log on and just be like, what's this? What's this comic book? What's that? How do they make that? What's the internet?
So what you're saying is you haven't monetized this podcast yet.
Hey, man, I know what's going on in some of the comics. Just now we get to DC stuff. So anyway, apologies. That has completely sidetracked me. A couple other things that we have had happen recently was when I was at WonderCon, I picked up a book, Jeff, which it was amazing. I went to a fantastic lecture. Well, I don't know what you call it. It was a breakout session And it was a woman who's a fantastic editor. She had some great advice for people who want to write comic books. She had some fabulous stories of being in the industry. And so I went to her booth a little later and was looking at her stuff, and she had a book. And I was like, this is the perfect book for my friend Jeff.
And I got to tell you, I appreciate the heck out of you thinking of me and giving me the book. It's very nice of you. Thank you, sir.
So what's the title of the book and what's it about there, Jeff?
Well, your friend was Barbara Kessel. And the book is called Oof, Boff, Splat, The Subterranean Blue Grotto Essays on Batman 66, Season 3, edited by Jim Beard with Rich Handley.
That Rich Handley sounds made up. I gotta tell you. But yeah, it's a book, and the way it was like positioned is it's a series of books. There's three in the series, apparently one for each season of the TV show Batman from the 1960s. And they hire it's an anthology. They get an individual essayist to watch an episode and then write an essay about it.
Yeah.
So what'd you read?
I read the introduction. I haven't gotten that far into it yet.
Introduction. But was it good? Was it a good
Well, let me give you an excerpt of what I've read so far.
Okay.
Table of Bat Contents. And that's about it.
Table of Bat Contents. Bat Shark Repellent.
Although, Miss Kessel, maybe, I'm not exactly sure if I'm pronouncing it right. You did have her autograph the book for me as well, which was very cool.
Jeff, and I will say, and if she hears this, no knock to her, I could not stop her from autographing it if I'd wanted to.
And on the table of bad contents, she actually wrote a little note and pointed to her her essay, and it said, "Read with a snarky California girl voice in your head."
All right, so Jeff, it's improv comedy time. Use the table of bat contents, flip to the beginning, and give us the first paragraph in a snarky voice, as she recommends.
I don't know if I can get the California girl thing down, unless I'm doing, you know, Moon Unit Zappa from Valley Girls. Yeah, do like
a total Valley Girl. I'm sure she's of the same age we are, that snarky California girl means Valley Girl accent.
Well, this is going to suck. Here we go.
I'm gonna put that in the intro to every podcast we do.
Is this thing on? Okay, something you need to know about me as I walk through this episode. I have a special love-hate relationship with Batgirl. My name is Barbara. My father's name is James. Reruns were playing. My kid life was all about reruns, showing an old world that no longer existed outside the screen. The mod had arrived, and 6-year-old me was digging it. There we go. How about that?
Applause, applause. I don't know if I have applause on this soundboard. Though. I have that.
That's about right.
Sorry, and for those listeners, I have a new sound deck, too, that we're testing out here. That was cool. That was it was a great find. Else were we gonna throw? I found a Spinal Tap comic, Jeff.
You did.
Which was from, I have it in front of me.
Publisher.
Is this because oh my gosh.
It could be a little independent thing here.
You gotta vamp a little bit, Jeff, because it is an independent comic company. I will post in the Rock and Roll Biographies Presents. It's by J. Allen Sanford and Nestor Tatiato. With Chimp 9 doing the editing. So, man, that's amazing. Yeah. But when I visited their booth at WonderCon, they said that they had a whole lot of these that were biographies of actual bands, and they're like a buck each. Uh-huh. And they're like, we just like to do it. Cover price $350. They were selling them for a buck at their booth. I got an Oingo Boingo one, but I picked you up the Spinal Tap one, and it's a biography of Spinal Tap. And the difference in this one was that on the left-hand margin was the fictional biography of the fictional band Spinal Tap, and on the right-hand margin was the history of the actors and the movie.
Mm-hmm. Which was really, really cool. That part of it I absolutely loved, because I do have some history with the individual people going back, you know, over the course of my life. They mentioned that Harry Shearer was on the Jack Benny program. He was a little kid, and I've seen him on the Jack Benny program. Because I love Jack Benny. That? I love Jack Benny. And yeah, there he was. Big as life as a little kid. And I've got a couple albums by the credit. I knew I was going to mess that up. The Credibility Gap, which was the improv comedy group that he and Michael McKean and David Lander, who was Squiggy on Laverne and Shirley, yes, they were all members of this comedy group in the late 60s, early 70s. And some of their stuff is really funny. They were contemporaries of another group that I would like to mention, my absolute all-time favorite, the Firesign Theater.
Which we will get to if we have time here.
If we have time. But yeah, this was a fun book. It's not gonna add to your knowledge of Spinal Tap lore at all. It's really just kind of gonna go back over stuff you already know from the movie. The movie is more fun to experience than the comic book. The real wonderful takeaway from it is the history of the people who made Spinal Tap in the first place.
Yes. And so that's what I'll say. Like, I mean, I have not watched Spinal Tap in a long time, but for a time I was watching it nonstop. Having not watched it in a long time, it was a fun way to like remind myself of my favorite parts of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't know. I don't want... And this is a family podcast. I'm not going to say some of that, but it's a fun reminder. And then I did not know as much of the history probably as you did, mm-hmm, reading about Harry Shearer and the timeline there and when the Simpsons stuff started and just that, sure, kind of thing. Well, I mean, it's fascinating. And because, like I said, they were selling it for $1. I thought it was well worth the cost. I would highly recommend you seek it out. I will try and find a way in the notes to the show to publish for sure exactly where you find it. But I thought it was fun. And it ends with the classic, how can I leave this behind?
Oh, man. Now I want to watch the movie again.
It was fun. The comic was a lot of fun. And then you touched on it. It's the last thing we're going to talk about, Jeff. And if people need to go, they can go. You're excused, class. Now it's just old guys talking. Firesign Theater. I had never listened to a Firesign Theater. You texted me then later after I got this album. But you and I were at the record store, which in Omaha, Homer's. Is it Music and More, whatever they are now?
Homer's, yeah, I'm not exactly sure what their Homer's subtitle is, but it's your
grandpa's basement.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a great record store in the heart of Omaha's Old Market District.
Yeah, it's a great record store. They have records. They have a bunch of junk. They have a bunch of weird stuff.
They have surprise package DVD.
Surprise DVD packages. But you were like, let's go look at the comedy albums. And yes, they had a selection of used comedy albums. And you were like, you were like seeing the Firesign Theater stuff. You're like, I love Firesign Theater so much. I love it so much. And I was, uh-huh, like, we're getting ready to record this podcast. I feel bad that I made you see Evil Dead Rise, even though you didn't want to. I was like, hey, maybe I should. You know, it's like any relationship. You give a little, you get a lot. I'm like, I'm going to get one of these Firesign Theater records. I'm going to listen to it because Jeff's, mm-hmm, a huge fan.
Mm-hmm.
And you had me, out of all the selection they had there, you recommended Bozos on the Bus. You want to tell people a little bit about Bozos on the Bus?
Okay. That's probably not the best jumping off point for a Firesign newbie. I think We're All Bozos on This Bus is one of the Firesign Theater's classic three or four albums from the late 60s, early 70s. The album that immediately preceded it is called Don't Touch I'm blanking.
The Dwarf Pliers one.
Don't Touch That Dwarf, Hand Me the Pliers.
Don't and Crush that Dwarf.
Don't Crush That Dwarf. Thank you. And that recording is now in the Library of Congress of a few years ago. So it's culturally important. Yeah. So this is... It's not a sequel, but the way that these early albums are
I did read on Wikipedia mm-hmm, that the ending of that album leads into the beginning, yes, of this one because the music is,
yes,
playing. Yes,
sonically thing. Only. There's no story, yeah, continuation. Yeah,
right.
But it is a sonic continuation from one end to the other, which I thought was kind of cool.
Yep.
Yeah, the Firesign Theater started out as a radio show, a live radio show, just guys goofing around in the 60s, KPFK in Los Angeles, I believe, Radio Free Oz. They kind of grew out of that and they started making records. They actually got unlimited free studio time in the Columbia recording studios, the CBS recording studios, where all of the old radio shows used to be made. All of the old sound effects equipment was there. Nobody was using it. So they were given carte blanche to take as much time as they want to craft these albums, which are not straight comedies, but they're really more, kind of counterculture subversive movies for your mind. They're multi-layered, right, and they're really, really fun.
I mean, and for people who are of a slightly younger generation than me, it will boggle their minds. You had to care about, mm-hmm, I got to get studio time. I have to like put thought and effort into this instead of just being a random jackass who has a microphone and records a podcast.
Oh, no, they scripted all this stuff out very, very carefully.
You had to put some thought and effort into it. You couldn't just show up, record, post it online.
No, no. Not unless you were really, really talented.
You couldn't even do that still.
Yeah. The thing about Firesign Theater, I'm sorry.
You had to, somebody was putting some money behind it. And so you better, like, even if you're Jack Benny doing a radio show, you better be prepared.
Oh, yeah. No, they absolutely very carefully wrote all this stuff out. The thing about the Firesign Theater is they are of their time. So you are going to get some references and some things in there that are going to shock the hell out of you if you are listening to it here and now in the future.
Well,
because it's of its time
in the future.
Yeah.
And I'll say, so I'd never listened to any Fireshine stuff before. I feel like you showed me J-Men Forever at one point,
boy,
which is related to Fireshine, right?
Yes. Two of the Firesigns actually worked on that project.
Which you, I think you showed me long, long ago because you knew I was into Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to, keep me honest, We're All Bozos on This Bus.
I think We're All Bozos on This Bus.
I think We're All Bozos on This Bus. And it
that
was.
That title I know.
I got it. And it was, you asked me before we started, you're like, what'd you think? And it's like, I don't want it to sound wrong. It's complicated though. It's layered and it's very deep, and it is not something you can come away with a snap judgment on of whether it's good or not. And it does remind me of like Mystery Science Theater, which I like a lot, mm-hmm, which you can watch it and you can finish watching it and feel like I only got about 20% of that. I don't feel like I picked up everything they were saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was entertaining enough that I want to go back and revisit it. But it's like, I can't have a deep conversation with you of what I think of this one particular thing, because I'm like, I don't even know. I finished and I'm like, I don't know exactly what I heard because there was so much going on that I'm still trying to process the one thing and the next thing is already happening, which is, to me, a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, Robin Williams described the Firesign Theater records as audio versions of Hieronymus Bosch paintings.
Yes, that's a good description.
There's so much going on.
It's almost like you have to unpack it. It's only like 38 minutes long.
Yeah.
But it's layers on layers, Aklem. You get the Aklem thing, and it's like, it carries on.
Aklem.
Right? And it's something you heard 10 minutes ago, they're now referencing 10 minutes later.
Uh-huh.
But if you missed the thing 10 minutes ago, you're not picking up. And then I did, be on your recommendation, read some stuff online before I listened to it. And they talked about, again, it's a relic of its era when computers were just starting to be a thing. And they're referencing things that haven't happened yet, like holograms, mm-hmm, and things that are ubiquitous now. Right. But even We're All Bozos on This Bus, the article I read before I listened to it was like, that is a reference to computer buses.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah. I was like, these guys are so smart that, like,
yes,
I feel like I gotta catch up to it.
Yeah. And the thing is, I've been a fan since 1984. And I've been listening to them. I can't tell you how many times I've listened to this record, literally, probably hundreds of times. And I still will pick up a brand new thing every once in a while. I'll be like, oh, wait a minute. I just made that connection. I get it now.
Right. So do I have a solid opinion on it? What I would say is, on a Fireside Theater thing, I feel like if you're intellectually curious and you like things with layers and layers and layers that will unfold itself over time, and you're willing to put the time and effort into it, which I am now because I've listened to it, I think it's great. But I don't know if I can have a real intellectual dialogue with you about it, because I'm like, I think I only comprehended a tiny fraction of it.
Yeah, you've only listened to it once. You're not ready to talk about it yet.
I feel like I'm going through a Shaolin initiation now. You're not now, ready, young.
I did also text you the link to listen to The Further Adventures of Nick Danger, which is that's the piece that I usually start out with Firesign newbies. I say, look, this is going to be the easiest entry into these guys and what they're about. That is a far more conventional comedy with lots of fun puns and jokes and stuff in it that you really should listen to that. And then you can kind of ease into the other stuff.
So here's what I'm going to say in closing is that this has been a great podcast and I appreciate it. And I was faking the whole way that we didn't know what we were doing. There are millions of tiny references that are layers upon layers in this podcast. I'm hoping generations and generations to come, if you listen to it hundreds of times, you will finally unpack the intellectual depth with which this podcast was layered.
I say live it or live with it.
So thanks for joining me, Jeff. Thanks for listening, everybody. This is the Casual Comics Cast, and we will talk to you again soon.
Cheers, everyone. If you've got a comic book you'd like to hear us talk about, please let us know on Twitter @CasualComicsGuy, at our blog CasualComicsGuy.com, or on our Facebook page Casual Comics Cast. So until next time, stay safe and stay frosty, people.